Our text is taken once again from Psalm 23, and we will read the entire psalm. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. We thank you, our Father, for this time when we can study and apply your holy word to our lives. We thank you for divine truth. We thank you for the message of the previous hour concerning studying and knowing and interpreting and living by your holy truth. Deliver us, we pray, from false religion. Deliver us, we pray, from the thinking of the world. And now, during this time of the COVID pandemic, and as we enter into this present administration and we are rapidly moving to a socialistic state, already our freedom of speech is being curtailed. And violence seems to be the answer for all inadequacies and distrust and disagreement with our government. Father, we pray that your hand might be upon us for good. We pray, as always, for revival among your churches and for a time of spiritual awakening throughout our society. We know, O Lord, the spiritual history of our nation, and we know that you, beginning in the early 1700s with the 13 colonies, dealt with us by revival and spiritual awakening. And we pray, Father, that you would visit us once again. Now, as we look to your word, enable us to understand it, enable us to be rejuvenated in our faith and trust, and might we walk before you, depending upon you, and rejoicing in this holy relationship that derives through your truth. Glorify yourself, the gospel of your Son, and we commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is our fifth study in this 23rd Psalm. And our attention is given especially this morning to verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. However, before we attempt an exposition of this second verse, I want to review, and I think necessarily so, the outline that we have for this psalm, A Day in the Life of a Sheep. David looks back, we believe, over his entire life. He likens it to a day in the life of a sheep, beginning early morning and ending at night. And I want to explain some things and draw from this idealistic picture some issues that we have considered, that we will consider today, and God willing, what we will consider in the future. A day in the life of a sheep. We begin with the shepherd and the sheep in verse 1. the sheepfold, as we shall see, was located in a small valley or canyon surrounded by steep cliff walls. This protected the sheepfold from the winds, from the extreme elements, from predators, and from robbers. It would be situated close to lush pasture and a stream or spring of water. In the lush soil, productive soil, at the bottom of this valley or canyon, there was lush pasture, plenty of moisture, and a spring, a water hole, or a small stream. An idealistic picture. Early in the morning, the shepherd leads his sheep out of the sheepfold, calling each sheep by name and leading his flock immediately into that lush pasture in the rich bottomland of that canyon or valley to find suitable and safe pasturage. Verse 2, morning in the meadows. After feeding, the flock would lie down to ruminate their food. The sheep is a ruminant animal. It gobbles up food quickly. It chews, it swallows it. And then lying down, it ruminates the food. It regurgitates it and it chews it consistently to finish the digestion, and then it swallows it again. So we have now this time of rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This would prepare them for their ascent to the mountain pastures where they would spend the middle of the day, the end of the day, into the evening time. The sheep would also drink in their rumination from a stream, a spring, or a watering hole. This brings us to verse 3, midday on the mountains. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The sheep are being prepared for their trek and ascent to the higher mountain pastures. The shepherd may have to pick some sheep up and put them on their feet, especially pregnant ewes, as we shall see in a future study, or those who could not get to their feet because of the heaviness of their wool, or perhaps foreign material stuck in their wool that had to be cleared. Each sheep he would care for, and then they would begin the trek to the mountain pastures. The cool air of this canyon or valley, which is so blessed early in the morning, would soon heat with the rising sun because there was no air or breeze and motion in the bottom land where the sheepfold was. The air would grow hot and stagnant. Biting insects and swarms of flies would make existence here during the day unbearable. So the shepherd takes them up to the mountain pastures where the breeze would blow, no insects would be present, and the sheep could feed in peace. The shepherd then leads the flock through the deeply rutted paths known by many generations of sheep in that locality, well marked out, deeply rutted, to the mountain pastures. Now we come in verses 4 and 5 to the evening and its evils. The shepherd leads the flock down the steep, narrow trail into the valley or canyon as it gets dark. Robbers or beasts of prey might lurk in the shadows or in the caves along the wall of the cliff. The trail is narrow. The trail is steep. The time is a time of danger. Predators may lurk about. The howl of the wolf the roar of the lion in David's day. The shepherd is ready to protect the sheep even with his very life against predators or robbers. And it's now almost dark. Down into the valley once again, he leads his sheep for a final feeding, a final watering in that lush pasture surrounding the sheepfold. And then he examines each sheep medically to give them an ointment prepared for any wounds, scabs, or problems the sheep might have. This brings us to verse 6, the sheepfold and its safety. The sheep are led back into the sheepfold, and the shepherd and the sheepdogs lie at the entrance and form the very door of the sheepfold. Where are the sheepdogs? Goodness and mercy shall dog my steps, literally from the Hebrew, shall pursue me or dog my steps. This is the essence of this idealistic picture, and we will open it as we proceed. Now to verse 2 once again. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The shepherd finds a suitable place close to the sheepfold in the lush grass of this bottom land for the sheep to feed and then to rest and ruminate so they would be prepared for that strenuous trek to the mountain pastures. This was necessary for the sheep's digestion and to be rested. It also implies a place of safety so the sheep would not startle or panic. He maketh me to lie down in lush or green pastures, a picture of rest. Now, he leadeth me beside the still waters. In the Hebrew, it is literally, he leadeth me by waters of rest. Turbulent streams might wash the sheep away. Fetid, stagnant pools would cause the sheep to contract disease or parasites. So the picture is idealistic. A slow-moving stream or a spring where the sheep may safely water. The usual word for up is here translated beside. He leads me beside the waters of rest. The primary interpretation would be, he leadeth me up beside the waters of rest. On this narrow trail, steep trail, along the base of the cliff, leading up out of the canyon into the hillsides and the mountain pastures, seep springs would come from the base of the cliff. The shepherd had prepared and pushed away the rocks so the sheep might water on the way. They would lack nothing. Note the word leadeth in verse 3. It's in the imperfect tense in the Hebrew, emphasizing a continuous action. He always leads me. And this is a gentle term. Picture the ewes, some pregnant, some with lambs. This is a shepherding term of gentleness. He's gently leading them up this steep and narrow trail until it opens up to those rutted paths that lead to the mountain pasture. The word leadeth in verse 3, as we will see, is a different word. It means to strenuously move, strenuously climb, to march, as it were. But in verse 2, it is a gentle term. Gentle term, as the sheep and the flock is beginning to move and to be led up to where the canyon opens out into the lushness of the mountain pasture. We note something else here. The shepherd always leads his sheep. He never drives them. Cattle can be driven. Horses can be driven. Other animals can be driven, but the sheep must be led. Charles Spurgeon, in his masterful commentary on the book of Psalms, mentions a man who was traveling centuries ago, and he sees a man driving a flock of sheep. And he watches the man for a time and pulls up beside him on his horse, and he said, "You are not doing the work of a shepherd, for the shepherd never drives his sheep." He said, "Ah, 'tis true, but I am not a shepherd. I'm a butcher, and I'm taking the sheep to market for meat." There are some preachers, sad to say, who seem to drive their flocks. This exercise, that activity, always pushing people on, well meant perhaps, but what is need is the leading of a shepherd, the gentleness, the understanding, the kindness, and thus preachers who care for churches are called pastors or shepherds. Now for some observations and application of this second verse. We, as God's people, as sheep, need regular times of rest and refreshment, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And we need to understand this. Whatever our spiritual attainments might be, we are still human beings. And God deals with us as His people, as human beings. Oftentimes we overextend ourselves. We forget our infirmities. And oftentimes the work of God is pushed along in the strength of the flesh. God's people may become tired. We do have our infirmities. We are beset with indwelling sin and remaining corruption. Those who become exhausted, those who are sorely tried, often harm themselves, they harm others, or they harm their own testimony. A discontent, and I might say a spiritually dehydrated believer, is a danger to himself and also to other believers. I want to consider in this context the fourth commandment. Let me read it in its entirety, then point out, I believe, a necessary observation. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore God blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God did not rest because He was tired. He rested in a rest of satisfaction, realization, rejoicing in His creation. But let us look at the opening words. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is one of the strongest wordings of the Ten Commandments. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. The command is not to work 6 days, but 6 days are set aside for work, so one can rest on the Sabbath day. The fourth commandment, the major first observation, is an organized life. There is time for work and labor in the work of the Lord. And there is time for rest and refreshment and restoration in the work of the Lord. We miss during this COVID pandemic, congregating together, corporate worship, and corporate fellowship, which is so necessary for the people of God, lying down, as it were, in lush green pastures and beside waters of rest, fellowshipping with one another, the flock of Christ, the church of God, congregating, rejoicing, strengthening one another. And it is quite evident that we lack this greatly during this time. Our Lord spoke to the Jews, who, of course, possessed the Word of God. And yet from this they departed severely, as we saw in this last hour under Brother Billings' preaching. And they established a religion of works and self-righteousness. So when our Lord went to heal an individual in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, they said, "This man keepeth not the Sabbath. He cannot be of God." They overlooked the miracle. They utterly condemned our Lord because they had completely misconstrued the Word of God. And our Lord said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." They had completely reversed the role of the Word of God, established their own external rites, rituals, and ceremonies, and in doing that denied the very reason for the Sabbath day, that man might be refreshed, might worship, and might be refreshed in his relationship to God. Our Lord had to remind them that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And it is so easy in religion to reverse God's order. It is so easy to have a mere outward religion, an external religion, rites, rituals, ceremony, attendance to this, an activity here and there, and losing the very Word of God altogether. I want to mention something historical at this point. The French Revolution, which began in 1789, was a desire of the French people to have what America had had in 1776 to 1780. The War for Independence, and then a government by the people, of the people, and for the people. But the French Revolution did not have a sufficient moral and spiritual base, and it became the first modern atheistic state. It was based on the metric system, increments of 10. So the state established a 10-day work week, a week of 10 days. It was consistent with their thinking, with their philosophy, and with the reigning power. 10-day work week. They found that after 6 days, the workers began to slough off and began to be unable to complete their task. Eventually, they had to go back to a 7-day week with 1 day of rest and 6 days of labor. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We are so constructed by God as His image bearers that we are meant to work and then to have times of rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I need this time of rest, refreshment, for my own recuperation, and He leads me by waters of rest. Is there not here a lesson concerning ruminating, as it were, upon the Word of God? Simply reading a chapter a day does not necessarily keep the devil away. That was a saying when I was growing up. A chapter a day keeps the devil away. Not necessarily. The sheep would go out and rapidly feed, competing with other sheep. They would gobble up what they could, and then they would lie down, regurgitate what they had quickly consumed, chew it thoroughly, and then swallow it again. They were chewing their cud. They were ruminants. And the child of God must be a ruminant. We must chew the cud. We must repeat the Word of God. We must digest the Word of God. We must enter into the Word of God so that it permeates our life. Brother Billings referred to Psalm 119. In the opening verses, and I will read some selections from these, the Word of God is described in 8 different ways. In the first 8 verses, I will select statements from the opening verses of this psalm. See the place the Word of God is to have in our lives, ruminating on the Word of God, digesting the Word of God until it permeates and expresses itself throughout our lives, digesting God's truth, replenishing the soul. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes! Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Open Thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. The Word of God is mentioned in all, well over 100 verses of Psalm 119, ruminating upon the Word of God, thoroughly digesting the Word of God, throughout the day repeating words from Scripture, statements of Scripture, verses of Scripture, until our entire life is ideally affected by and governed by the Word of God. Yes, as the sheep needed to ruminate and digest its food, so the believer needs to digest the Word of God until it literally becomes part of his or her life. We note again that the sheep needs food and water regularly, and believers need to feed upon and drink from God's Word daily for spiritual nourishment. We need to prayerfully consider and ponder the Word of God throughout the day. We may become spiritually dehydrated. We may become weak and malnourished, just like the sheep. We cannot make it to the mountain pastures, to lie under the shade of the trees, to have the welcoming breezes and the lushness of spiritual food, fellowship with the shepherd as he watches over us, praying unceasingly and holding communion with God throughout the day, walking working, praying, all together, the Word of God permeating, as it were, our very being. This is the ideal, and this is the end result of God's Word. The Christian life is to be one of progression spiritually. We become fragile, spiritually dehydrated, if the Word of God does not have its proper ministry in our lives. Much of our trouble among Christians come from tired saints, irritable saints. Like sheep, we become discontent. We tend to wander, and we even tend to butt one another. A quote from William Plummer and his exhaustive commentary on the Psalms. God's people have a threefold peace. Peace with God, peace with their own conscience, and peace in their own affections. They are not hateful and hating one another. This is descriptive of the world. They hate one another. They're in competition with one another. They are filled with ego and filled with self, but not among the people of God. And why, we ask, are God's people so different? Because of the effect of the Word of God and the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. A word to believers in closing. Are we the contented sheep of our Father's flock? Do we rejoice in His constant care, protection, and provision? We should rejoice when God gives us time to meditate upon His Word, to read His Word, that His Word might have its proper influence and expression in our lives. And what can we say to unbelievers, to those who are not God's sheep? Is it indeed true that you can live your entire life without respect to God, without realizing God's providential care, without realizing God's goodness to you in putting you under the sound of the gospel? You mock the Word of God. Perhaps not by voice, but by your life. You do not have what was spoken about in the last hour, a revelational epistemology, that our source of truth and knowledge is found in God's revelation, in God's Word. You may have outward religion. You may have traditional religion. But you are utterly ignorant of a vital living relationship to God through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Him. Believe on Him. Our righteousness is either our own, a rotten self-righteousness, filthy rags, or it is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to us, put to our account by or through faith, that we might be reconciled to God, the subjects of His kingdom, indwelt by His Spirit, and anticipating life with Him in that which is to come. Look to Christ, believe on Him, and know the grace of God and the full import of His Word in your life and experience. Father, bless, we pray, this study in Your Word. Oh, Father, lead us and make us to lie down and to rest in green pastures. Lead us by waters of rest. Resuscitate us is our prayer. Replenish Your grace within our lives. Might we be living testimonies to Your saving mercy. And for those who are strangers to Your grace, might such studies and the messages be used to bring them to truth and to eternal life. This we commit to you in Jesus' name. Amen.